the most popular place to meet men is at Home Depot. So I'm thinking of getting down to West 23rd Street, you know, and figure out which aisle would best serve my needs. I'm 81. What are you going to do?
This is Crow's Feet, a place where we ponder the question, are these our golden years, or does aging just suck? Well, yes, getting older is not for the faint-hearted, but aging also brings wisdom and humor, a finely tuned perspective on life. In our podcast, you'll meet writers and others rethinking our later years, people who inspire us to reimagine our future.
Hi, I'm Melinda Blau. Welcome to today's Crow's Feet podcast.
And now, Pangea is very pleased to present Alicia Littman, Senior Living.
She waits before stepping into the spotlight. The crowd at Pangea, an out-of-the-way supper club in the East Village, is small but adoring. Alicia gives herself a good 30 seconds to savor the electricity of making an entrance. The applause and catcalls grow louder as she finally steps out of the darkness. She's a sexy brunette with flyaway hair, her pretty face framed by glittering, diamond-like earrings.
Good times and bad times, I've seen them all, and my dear, I'm still here.
Alicia has driven a cab, sold advertising for the New York Times, and now sells high-end apartments in Manhattan.
But I'm here.
On stage, she sells her songs, punctuating her patter with bittersweet memories, sharp humor, and the wisdom of a life long lived. She's been around, and it suits her. If this is senior living, we all want to take notice.
I've run the gamut, A to Z, three cheers and damn it, say la vie. I got through all of last year, and I'm here. I was there, and I'm here, I'm still here, look who's here. Thank you all, welcome to Pangea. You know, when somebody starts with I'm still here, opens a show with that instead of closing with it. She better be either good enough to follow it up with a hell of an hour of songs, good songs, or just old enough to get away with it. I'm betting you'll all agree with me that I'm a little bit of both.
I'm sitting and talking to Alicia Littman. What did you just call yourself, Alicia?
Terry, my middle name.
But is that your stage name?
Yes.
And when did you start using it?
Today.
I have to say up front, Alicia's a neighbor in my building in New York. And so we know a lot of people in common, but not well. We just pass in the hallways. And I ran into Joey, and Joey told me that you two had gone to the same drama school as kids. And I can't remember the name of it.
Charlie Lowe Studios.
That's right.
For children.
Right. How old were you?
I was a kid. I don't know. About 12 years old. I traveled from Brooklyn on the train by myself. And I used to go for 2 hours tap dancing and 2 hours singing.
And did your mother push that or did you want it?
Well, I don't. She set me up. I was a terrific tap dancer.
Ah.
Terrific.
So you just did that on your own. You watched TV as a kid and...
But from Brooklyn, I mean, that was a big trip for a kid, a young teenager, traveling by myself from Brooklyn, get on the Sea Beach train and get off. Now, you should know, Charlie Lowe Studios was located in the CBS building where, at 52nd and Broadway, in the building right above the theater, the CBS theater. But I did it every Saturday morning, and I loved it. I loved tap dancing.
Did you hope to get a part in something? Did you do it in school, you know?
Not at that age. No. I wound up not tap dancing, but singing in high school in our sing performances, which, you know, made fun of all the teachers and the principal and all that. And actually, that was the first place that I heard show music, because otherwise, we just listened to regular pop music on the radio. I did one thing that has nothing to do with the show music. I did one thing to the old Ajax. It's Ajax Boom Boom. The tonic blends up.
Use Ajax.
Boom Boom.
The foaming cleanser. Get things clean, just like a whiz.
We had new lyrics, you know, for it, but I did it because I had a voice that could go low. And we also had in the show, I don't know the name of the song from My Fair Lady when they're at the when they're at Ascot.
What a frenzy moment that was, didn't they maintain an exhausting pace? Twas a thrilling, absolutely chilling, rowing of the Ascot opening race.
Yeah, I loved that. And I said, wow, where is that from? And then I found that it was a Broadway show. I'm not even sure if I had seen a Broadway show at that point yet.
Right.
If I had, I saw one show that an English teacher, Mr. Naaman, who I adore, he took us to see, of all things, The Diary of Anne Frank as a first Broadway show. That's a toughie, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember the first musical you saw? Mine was Call Me Madam with Ethel Merman.
No, I did not see that. My mother, Lil Littman, millinery designer supreme, I have to tell you. Everybody in the neighborhood wore her designs on the Jewish holidays. And all the ladies had my mother's hats on with the veils. I mean, I grew up with the veils and the feathers.
So that's kind of show business.
Yeah. What was the question? I forgot.
Memory, what became of my short term? I remember the old days. I was sharper back then. If I eat fish and do the crosswords every day, will my brain cells grow again?
The question, now I forgot the question, provided to write it down. Oh, no, I know what it was.
Yes.
What was the first Broadway show you saw? Musical.
I don't know. My mother, I have a sister. I had a sister, a younger sister who was special needs. And my mother worked feverishly for an organization, the Mayfair League, raised money for cerebral palsy. And one of the ways they did that, at that time, all these organizations, charitable organizations, they would have luncheons and Broadway shows. And so I think probably the first musicals I saw were with my mom at one of these events. And it might have been I Can Get It For You Wholesale with Barbra Streisand.
Oh, wow.
Or Milk and Honey with Molly Picon.
Oh, my God.
That might have been the first one.
Okay, let me get back to Barbra Streisand.
Yes.
Because you obviously saw that.
Yes. I don't know if it was before or after, but I saw her on the Ed Sullivan Show one Sunday night, and I was blown away.
The sky was blue, and high above, the moon was new, and so was love. This eager heart of mine was singing, lover, where can you be?
And yes, I was very influenced by Barbra. I thought I couldn't be Barbra Streisand. I had a good singing voice, and I don't know. Yes, I related to her.
Yeah.
And, of course, she came from Brooklyn, and I came from Brooklyn, different high schools. I don't know. Is she my age, or is she a little younger or older?
No, she's probably your age.
Just about
my age. I'm guessing she's your age.
Yeah.
So which high school do you go to?
Lafayette.
And where did she go to?
She went to Erasmus. Larry King went. A lot of people went to Lafayette.
Came out of Brooklyn.
Absolutely.
In fact, we're both two New York broads. That's, you know, we love the city.
I love New York. Give me kind of mountain. I love New York.
And what I loved about your show was, A, that you did it at the age that you are. You said, I'm going to write a one-woman show. And I know that a whole lifetime preceded that. So when you sat down to write it,
What goes to your mind when you say I'm going to write this show? It's kind of, what was the name of the show, first of all?
Senior Living.
Senior Living. You opened with I'm Still Here, which was a really favorite part for me.
With all due respect, I had done a few other shows about my life early on, but I had not done anything for some 7 years. During that 7 years, obviously I got older, and I was surprised to see, gee, you know, I hit 81. I said, wow, this is not so bad.
My life was pretty darn good for an old broad. I felt vibrant and engaged. I had a coterie of wonderful, loyal friends. I was successful in business. And I had a closet full of wonderfully new, stylish clothes that I purchased during the pandemic when ordering online became my newest favorite hobby. Even the little dip in my IRA unnerved me only momentarily. So here we are. I felt the urge to share.
So I decided to do a show and sharing my positive take on being an octogenarian. But I was having a hard time getting started with the story. So I decided to hire a director. So my director suggested I'm Still Here. I said, but that usually closes a show. And she said, well, that's what will make it interesting. You will open the show with it.
Good times, bad times, I've seen them all. And my dear, I'm still here. Plush velvet sometimes, sometimes just pretzels and beer. But I'm here.
When you talk about this show, all the songs, all the patter, it's mind-blowing.
Exactly.
And then on top of that, you have to sing it well.
You never sing a song. You're always performing a song as if it's an act in a play. Mm-hmm. You never just sing a song because you don't connect. People don't connect. That would be like just telling the lyrics, you know. And even if you speak the lyrics, you probably would speak it with more meaning than if you just sing a song.
Did you learn that in Miss Paul Somebody's drama school for children?
You know where I learned that? Again, many years ago, hace muchos años, I took a workshop in Tova Feldshuh's apartment on the Upper West Side.
I love it.
And the name of the workshop was The Song as an Act in a Play. You always have to have a context, who you're singing it to, why you're singing it, and all that. I mean, you always sort of feel you pick songs that you really relate to the lyrics.
Right.
But even if you relate to the lyrics, you really need more context.
Right.
To make it more authentic. And that was the first time in that workshop that I adopted that point of view.
You're listening to Crow's Feet, a podcast that reminds us we're never too old to shine. I'm Melinda Blau, and my guest is Alicia Lipman. Stay tuned. We're going to hear more of Senior Living, Alicia's hilarious, heartful, and hopeful one-woman show.
So when you look at your life today and you look at you're 82 or you're getting to 82?
Actually, I'm getting to 83 now.
Oh, my God. So seriously, is this what you imagined 83 to be or, you know?
No, I had no idea what 83 was going to be. It's just a continuation of my life.
Right.
You know, I was working with a new piano player the other day and I was telling him about the show I just did and it was about my being in my 80s. And he looked at me. He says, really? He said, I'm stunned. He said, I thought you were younger than I am. I said, how old are you, Mark? He says, I'm 73. I think you were in your 60s. I said, well, keep thinking. Keep thinking that, you know.
I'm slow to get attached. When my second husband, Alan, passed away, we were together for 25 years. I just didn't think of hopping onto a dating site to find a replacement. I thought he was rather irreplaceable. Now that I might consider dating again, I just heard on the news that Match is losing a ton of money, subscribership is down, and that the most popular place to meet men is at Home Depot. So I'm thinking of getting down to West 23rd Street, you know, and figure out which aisle would best serve my needs. Truth be told, the older I get, the less I worry about dating. Okay. Don't ask a lady what the lady did before. Ask what the lady's doing now.
So, I don't feel like the number of the age sounds.
Right.
We all have visions when we had grandmothers with the little bun in the back with the gray hair and the hair. Yeah, I don't feel that. I feel that this is a continuation of my life with the, you know, some of the added problems that come with a body that is 83 years old, you know. That's right. All. A torn meniscus is an age-appropriate injury for an 83-year-old person.
I remember a doctor telling me that at 50 when I first got arthritis. It's an age-appropriate.
I hate that term.
I know. It's in a way a little bit dismissive.
The thing is this, because of my energy and my talents and all that, so many people that I knew were sure that I really belonged in show business.
Right.
As a career, you know. Instead of the New York Times, instead of being a real estate broker, I belonged in show business. And so I would say, girl, get out.
Oh, this is to your younger self.
Yeah. Girl, get out. You got it. Believe in it.
Yeah.
More than you do. Yeah. That would be it.
You couldn't have put that show on if you didn't believe it.
That show, when you do a cabaret show, you're creating something yourself. If I really believed it, I'd be out there auditioning.
Nice.
That would be the deal.
You did a show about New York, like a love-hate relationship with New York.
Confessions of a New Yorker is the name of that.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah, by Portia Nelson.
But you do another New York song in Senior Living that I never heard but love.
Every morning when I wake up in the city, I can hardly wait to get outside my door. Then I find the elevator isn't running, and of course, I'm on the 37th floor. By the time I hit the street, my blood is boiling, but I'm feeling great. That's because I'm in hate love with New York.
In New York, New York, there's a line of, I want to wake up in a city that never sleeps.
Right.
That is New York.
That's true.
And it's the spirit of New York. You know, you almost never sleep.
Yeah.
We sleep, but we're always, you know. And whoa!
I'd like to say that was a mic drop and that I did it on purpose, like some hip-hop star. But hey, wrong generation. I picked up podcasting in my late 70s. Not to worry, though. I'm going to leave you with a bonus. Alicia singing a song that, to me, captures the sass and sensibility of a woman who's made it to 83, knows what she wants, and plans to keep going.
Now, almost every day, I hear some kind friend say, "Allie, dear, I think you're much too stacked." And right off, they suggest some diet. They think best, well, they make me sick, and I wish they'd cut it out. You know why? I don't want to get thin. No, I don't want to get thin. Why should I when I'm okay the way I am? I know I got a lot of what I got, but my friends love it. They're vegetarians. They eat meat, and plenty of it. And I don't want to reduce. Furthermore, what's the use? The boys, they follow me around like Mary's lamb. Now the girls who go on dieting get on my nerves. If you want to keep your husband straight, you got to show more. Oh, I don't want to get thin. You can laugh, you can grin. But I'm doing very well the way I am. Now, I'll tell you very frankly, I weigh 153. Well, I don't know, maybe 170. You know, from birth to age 18, a girl needs good parents. From 18 to 35, she needs good looks. From 35 to 55, she needs a great personality. But from 55 up, she needs cash. So I'll tell you very frankly, I weigh 150. like to bounce upon my knees. So why should I get thin? Bring that Tracy Pay in. Cause I'm doing very well the way I'm. Really very well I am. Thank you very well the way I'm. Forget the broccoli, pass the butter.
You know, you have to think that she's 81 years old, and she really worked hard on this, and she creates this patter and songs, and it's just so delightful and nice to listen to, and funny and heartfelt, and just really enjoyable.
That's great. Thank you, Mom.
You're welcome.
Okay, now I'm talking to Audrey, who also went to Alicia's show.
I live in the same building as Alicia, and we've become very close friends. The show was just dynamite. Fun it was, entertaining it was, poignant in certain ways. Her songs were so unusual, and that's what made the show so special.
Did the songs feel like Alicia?
Totally.
Totally.
They were totally her. It's not just the voice, it's the whole aura for a cabaret singer. And her patter was quite good too. She was very funny.
A lot of people are commenting on the fact that she's 81 and she did this show, but this is no big deal to you, Audrey, right? Because you are
86. She was nervous, but I kept saying, you have to do it. And it made her happy, and it made so many people happy.
There are 8 million stories in the Naked City. This has been one of them.
Thanks for listening to Crow's Feet. Today's episode was produced by me, Melinda Blau, with help from our executive producer, Nancy Peckenham, and the Crow's Feet team, George Ace Acevedo, Betsy Allen, Lee Bench, Gene Feldeisen, Jan M. Flynn, Nancy Franklin, and Jane Trombley. Editing and sound design by Rich Halton. Our original theme music was written and performed by Rand Bishop.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Crow's Feet, Life as We Age. Don't miss any of our great stories. Subscribe to Crow's Feet wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to tell your friends and family to give a listen too and leave a rating or review. You can read more Crow's Feet stories online at medium.com/crows-feet. So until next time, remember to savor every moment. As John Lennon said, count your age by friends, not years.
How about making friends with your crow's feet?